welcome. So let's just pray for you. Lord, I thank you for Jean. I thank you for all that she does and for the person she is. I thank you for her listening ear as you spoke with her this week about what she's going to say now. And I pray that the words might be yours and that they might enter our hearts and our souls and bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Val. So, morning, everyone. Both our readings today, short as they were, highlight the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, as you've already discovered, today is Trinity Sunday. But we're not focusing on those two passages. We're going to be focusing instead on the reality of Jesus' own words that he said that he came to baptize or baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, not in the names of. And in that 2 Corinthians passage, Paul invokes the blessing of the Trinity, the three members, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the word Trinity is not actually used in the Bible. It was first coined by the early Christian writer Tertullian in about the year 200. It means something like the tripleness and is used to refer collectively to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it took the church hundreds of years to decide about the Trinitarian orthodoxy, producing the Nicene Creed that many churches say on a Sunday morning. And because I was doing this last week when we were having communion, I was heightenedly sort of aware of the names of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we went through the communion service. It has to be said that most preachers would prefer to preach on any other subject than the Trinity. I always seem to get the short straw. Indeed, perhaps I should heed the advice of Brother Elric, a 12th century monk, who, after badly botching a sermon on the Holy Trinity, took a vow of silence for the rest of his life. Well, I don't think I'm about to do that quite yet. But God knew that people would find it really hard to take in the enormity of who he is. So he has chosen to reveal himself to us in three different ways, like a three-leaf clover, or an egg, which has three parts, the shell, the white, and the yolk. Or like the sides of an equilateral triangle. Or like a rope. Bet you wondered where I'd gone. We went to the dockyard week before last and went to the ropery, and we actually saw the ropes being made. It was just that right day that we happened to be there that they were doing it. And they start off with three cords, and they're all bound together into one. So the rope is a brilliant picture of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three, yet one, a strong and complete unit. Actually, Val, there are lots of verses that talk about the Holy Spirit. There's 1 Peter 1, 2, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, our two readings, and many more which mention Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I thought it would help us to look at the work of each member of the Trinity this morning so that we can understand their unique relationship as part of the one Godhead. I thought it'd be good too to bear in mind a quote I found from Selwyn Hughes, that the relationship within the Trinity is other-centered. So the work of God the Father. First and foremost, he is creator God. In Genesis 1, the Hebrew word for God is Elohim, which is his plural name. And verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." And God, plural, is seen to create by means of the word. He speaks and it happens. He speaks into the emptiness, and life is formed. And of course, that reminds us of Jesus, the Word made flesh. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And verse 2 of Genesis says, the Spirit was moving on the face of the waters. So we have these three aspects of God right at the very beginning of creation: Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. And then we have the fatherhood of God, which is mentioned numerous times in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 32 says, is he not your father who created you? And he is called the father to the fatherless in Psalm 68. And of course, we call him our father when we say the Lord's Prayer. So God created a world and filled it with people. He then chose the nation of Israel to reveal and action his fathering and form a special and unique relationship. And over the years in the Old Testament, we see the fatherhood, the compassionate Father God, rescuing his people from Egypt, leading them through the wilderness, giving them the Ten Commandments and the laws. He was continually doing them good and prospering them, delivering them and pouring on them spiritual and temporal gifts in abundance. But it has to be said that God is also a righteous judge, and he required obedience. And several times we know from scripture that he had to act against the many sins and rebellion of his people. And it is God's heart of compassion that works to bring in the plan of salvation to stop us being punished for going against him and going our own way. So at a very basic level, we see the work of God was to create a world, fill it with people, choose a nation with whom he could have a unique relationship which revealed his father-like care. And then he sends Jesus, his son, to reveal the way of salvation to all people. So we then have the work of Jesus, the Son. Jesus, who is equal and one with the Father. He has come to do the Father's work, to make personal what had been national. Remember the equilateral triangle where each side is equal, or the rope. Jesus is no less important than Father or the Spirit. In the Gospel, the writer John ranks Jesus as equal with God as to all the other New Testament writers. And Philippians 2, Paul writes, who being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one, in John 10:30. And Paul in Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And later in John 14, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's an amazing thing, that if we have seen Jesus, we have seen God. His listeners, of course, were very outraged because he was saying that he was equal with God and that he and the Father were one. And that's why they wanted to kill him from early on, because he made himself equal with God. He didn't make himself. He was equal with God. So Jesus is the beloved Son of the Father who was with God in the beginning. Christ, the Anointed One, having the same holy, righteous character as the Father. And as a Son, we read, he submitted to God's will, doing nothing on his own accord, but only what he saw the Father doing. That's John 5, verse 19. And one of the lovely things that stands out about his life was his relationship with God the Father. He was always going off somewhere quiet to pray, to talk to his dad. But at his baptism, we see God the Father testifying to the Son as he is filled with the Holy Spirit. We remember when God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So the work of Jesus was to fulfill God's plan of salvation, to bring all people everywhere into that same Father-Son relationship with God that Jesus the Son has. Jesus, in fact, in John 5:17 says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." And of course, through the Gospels, we see the many wonderful works on earth that Jesus did do, through healing, deliverances, raising people to life, commissioning the disciples, instituting the sacraments, imparting gifts, and fulfilling his mission as preacher, teacher, prophet, and priest. He is the author of salvation as the second person of the Trinity, as Hebrews 5 verse 9 says. Once made perfect, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And of course, the greatest work that Jesus did was to die on the cross for our sins, for our imperfection. And he also presents mankind and womankind sinless before the righteous judge. Through the work of the cross, he reconciles men and women to the Father, gathering into one the children of God who were scattered. So Jesus, the Son, gives everyone the opportunity to have a relationship with God, the Father. Yet, ironically, on the cross, his relationship with the Father was broken. It was separated. It was cut off. Do you remember Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason was, of course, that God could not look upon the sinfulness of his Son bearing our sins on the cross. So his work on earth was finished at the cross. And after he ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, restored in his relationship. And Jesus still continues to work on behalf of his people because he acts as an advocate, a go-between between we, the sinful people, and between God, the righteous judge. Did you realize that Jesus is always praying for you? Night and day, you are on his heart and he intercedes for you before the Father's throne. Jude 24 tells us that also he presents us without fault and with great joy before God. Can you imagine Jesus saying, here is your name. I'm presenting her, him to you. And I'm so joyful to be able to do that. That's what Jesus is saying at the moment about each one of us. So that we've seen the work of God the Father and the work of Jesus the Son. And now we see the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is not the least of the Trinity, even though we tend to put him third in the list with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When I was a classroom assistant, I learned lots of things that I'd forgotten from being a child myself. And one of them were about the triangles. And I learned about an isosceles triangle, where one side is shorter than the other two. The Holy Spirit is not part of an isosceles triangle. He is not of less importance than Father God or the Son Jesus. He is equal, just as each strand in this rope is equal. So we cannot say that the Holy Spirit is less important than Father or Son. All three members are one, and they are divine and equal. I can remember as a young Christian asking my Baptist minister if I could pray to the Holy Spirit, because I knew I could pray to God the Father and I could pray to Jesus, but could I pray to the Holy Spirit? Well, of course we can, because the Holy Spirit is person. He is not it. He is God's Spirit living within us, and he has the personality and power of God. He is a person because he has a mind. He makes decisions. He is a person because he has knowledge. He knows all that the Father is saying and doing. He is a person because he has will. He chooses, he directs, he guides. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament when he came upon people specially for ministry and in many prophetic words. And in the New Testament, he equips his people for power to do the works of Jesus. The Spirit also glorifies Jesus and bears witness to him The Holy Spirit points Jesus, people to Jesus. He also brings God's word to our remembrance. I think Val alluded to that earlier. And he guides us into all truth. And in fact, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit has spoken and worked through his life or her life. He brings comfort because his name is Comforter. Jesus said, I will send the Comforter to you. And he sanctifies us and makes us holy. He gives us understanding and teaches us all things. And yet again, as well as Jesus interceding for us, Romans 8 says, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So if ever you feel that there's no one praying for you and no one knows what you're going through, both Jesus and the Holy Spirit know and are interceding for you all the time. Jesus, of course, did not begin his ministry on earth until he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts from the Father. He convinces the world of sin. He brings the prophetic word. He helps us to know what to say when we need wisdom, when we don't know what to say. And he inspires us with joy to praise God. And he gives us freedom to speak in a new or different heavenly language. He is the fulfillment of the Joel prophecy, which Steve told us about last week. So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we've seen their separate works, all the different things that they do and they accomplish, all with one goal in mind, to bring salvation to us. So we've seen the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son and God the Father working. But are we letting the Trinity work in us? Because God is still Creator and Father, and as such, he wants to create or maybe recreate in us a new heart and give us his Spirit to bring us into that father, son, daughter relationship and to give us a love for the lost. He wants to make us more like his Son, Jesus. He wants to fill the empty spaces in our lives and to chase away the dark areas and fill them with his light and his love. Perhaps this morning, God the Father wants you to understand how much he loves you and wants to make us one with him, just as Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit are one and other-centered as well. Perhaps God wants you this morning to allow him to be Father in your life. And Jesus is still Savior. Though Jesus is now seated in heaven, the work of salvation does not stop because the cross transcends time and space. People can still be saved. The cross, the blood of Jesus, is still effective and powerful to redeem us. And Jesus still continues to intercede and pray for his people, for you and for me. Perhaps there's a particular area of your life that needs the salvation experience today. Our thoughts, our feelings, our hang-ups, our emotions, things in the past that haven't been dealt with, hurts or traumas that need the touch of the healing blood of Jesus, or sins that haven't been confessed. Today, do you need Jesus to pray for you afresh, to speak to the Father on our behalf? Do we need him to cleanse us and present us blameless before the Father, or to assure us of complete forgiveness? And the Holy Spirit is still working. When I was reading out that long list, he is extremely busy. He is doing so much in our lives that perhaps we're not aware of. His works are numerous and boundless. So do we need the prayer support of the Holy Spirit this morning? Do we need to understand the scriptures better? Do we need to have a new desire for worship? Do we need to have more gifts so that we can serve other people? Do we need his comfort or his guidance? Do we need the power of the Holy Spirit to work, serve, and minister to the lost? We do so much outreach in the week here, but we need to do it through the Holy Spirit's strength, not our own. And if Jesus knew that power had left him when he healed the sick and delivered the oppressed, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit to do the things that Jesus did? In John 3, Jesus says, "The Spirit is given without measure." In other words, there is no limit to the amount of infilling. We can be filled again and again and again, as often as we need, as often as we desire. And in fact, again, as Steve said last week, quoting Ken Gardner, we need filling up because we leak. The Trinity is still at work today if we let them. But we have to ask. We have to be willing. We have to want them to work in our lives. We have to want God to be Father and Creator and create in us the ability to be one with him. We have to want God the Father to save us from judgment. We have to want to be in a unique and vital father-child relationship with him. And we have to want Jesus to be our Saviour and allow him to bring that salvation experience into an area of our lives that maybe we haven't exposed to God through Jesus Christ. And we have to want the Holy Spirit within us to be active in our lives, to make us more like Jesus, to give us gifts for service and to fill us with power. The Trinity will continue to work in us if we let them, not just for our sakes, but for the world's sake, because others are desperately dying without Christ. The Trinity has set us an example and a pattern to follow, to be other-centered and to be united as one. The work of the Trinity is to create in us the process by which we can be one with God. And that's an amazing, amazing statement, to be one with God as Jesus and the Spirit are. The Trinity works so that we might have that father-son-daughter relationship with the living God, to free us from sin and enable us to do the works of Jesus that Jesus did. So I hope we have a clearer understanding this morning of the work of the Trinity, how each member of the Trinity has their own aspect and own part to play, but they are one and equal with each other. So praise God, he has revealed himself to us in these three different ways. Praise God, the work of the Holy Trinity still continues today, if we let them. Amen.